40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The sunny side of sports remembers former Newcastle midfielder Cheick Tute, the Ivory Coast international who died at 30 after collapsing during a training session in China. For reaction, my VOA colleague James Buddy called Abidjan, where he reached Ivorian sports fan and opposition leader Jean-Gervais Tchéidé.
Up to now, we don't know exactly what happened. The only thing we know is that he was training and he collapsed and then he died. It was a heart attack or something like that. But it's a very bad news for the country because Cheick Tute was a very, very good player. He was only 30 years old. He was a member of the national selection football team. So the news made everybody very, very sorry here and very unhappy. It was a bad news anyway.
Football Association of Ivory Coast, have they put out a statement yet? Any official statement?
Yeah, they did. They did make a statement just to give the news first, to express the compassion of the National Football Association and say that we are waiting for more information, not only about the circumstances in which he died, but also the program of the funeral. So it's sorrow and sadness and whatever you can imagine in the country here, in the football family.
As you mentioned, he was a member of the national team of the Ivory Coast. That must also have an impact on the other players and the nation as a whole.
Exactly. He was the member of the team which won the African Cup 2 years ago. And we were expecting him to come back again for the African Cup next year. As you can imagine, it is sadness and sorrow for everybody here. And we are waiting for the program to go and, you know, express our compassion to the family. He was in China, as you know. He was in the team in China. That's where he died.
That's Jean-Gervais Tchéidé, an Ivorian sports fan and opposition leader. And he was talking with VOA's James Buddy from Abidjan. Cheick Tute played 7 seasons for Newcastle United before moving to China in February this year to play for the club Beijing Enterprises. Tute also played for the Belgian club Anderlecht and the Dutch clubs Roda JC and Twente. He also made 52 appearances for the Ivory Coast national team, nicknamed the Elephants. And as Jean-Gervais Tchéidé mentioned, he was a member of the country's Nations Cup winning team in 2015.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association finals resume Wednesday night in Cleveland, Ohio, where the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers will try to bounce back from a 2-0 deficit against the Golden State Warriors. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 to talk NBA Finals is Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. Nice to be here again.
Welcome back, Dan. I know you have made no secret that you are a Cleveland sports fan. On previous appearances on the show. Putting your partisanship aside, Dan, can the Cavaliers come back from this 2-0 deficit?
I hate to say it in such a definitive way, but I just don't see it happening this year. Last year, the Cavs didn't get off to a great start in the finals either, but managed to rally partly thanks to Draymond Green being suspended for one game and setting up the decisive Game 7 in Golden State with the dramatic finish, you know, Kyrie Irving's big three-pointer and LeBron James's big blocked shot against Andre Iguodala. And the Cavs had their first ever championship, and it was a huge, huge moment of happiness for the people of Cleveland and Northeast Ohio that hadn't seen a major sports championship for over 50 years. It's the third year in a row that the Cavs have been in the finals, along with the third year that Golden State has been in the finals. And if you had to ask me today, it looks like Golden State is going to go ahead 2-1 in the finals, you know, having two rings out of three chances.
Dan, looking back on the 2016 NBA Finals, LeBron and the Cavaliers lifted the trophy, won the title in Oakland, California at the Oracle Arena. And the reports I've read said the Warriors, ever since that day, have kind of used that as motivation to win that title back. They went out and got Kevin Durant in the offseason. How important has Durant been to their attack?
Well, everybody was talking about this in the second part of the summer last year after the Cavs had their victory parade in Cleveland. And people were wondering where Kevin Durant was going to wind up, whether he was going to stay in Oklahoma City. Was he going to come to the Washington Wizards, close to where he grew up in Maryland? Was he going to go to some other team? And he chose some other team, and he picked Golden State. And obviously Golden State is being celebrated right now for playing so well in the first two games in the finals. But if you rewind to last summer, you'll remember that Durant got a lot of criticism for deciding to leave the city that brought him into the NBA and helped make him such a star player to go to a team that everybody figured was already full of stars. How was he going to fit in? And it turns out that he's fit in extremely well. I don't think that we knew how strong Golden State was going to be in the finals, because Durant missed a lot of games in the second half of the NBA season. He got hurt in a game here in Washington and slowly made his way back into the team as they were going in toward the end of the season. And then undefeated in the playoffs, probably one of the most remarkable playoff runs that we're ever going to see. And Durant just gives you that multi-talented player who can do, he's 7 feet tall, he can block shots, he's able to bring the ball up the court and pass, he can hit a three-pointer, and he can drive the lane and dunk. Like, there's nothing really that the Cavs can do to stop him.
I've read, Dan, that LeBron James, often called the best basketball player on the planet, and yet the two best players in the series so far through two games have been Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Your thoughts?
Well, you would say that cumulatively, LeBron still looks like he's up there. He had a rough first game of the championship series where he had 8 or 9 turnovers, right? He was really struggling early on in that game, even though he finished with, I'm looking at the stats right here. I mean, LeBron finished with 28 points in that first game, but he wound up with 8 turnovers. That's not really how he can play if the Cavs are going to be able to keep these games close. But yeah, Curry was the MVP for 2 years in a row. Here he is on the team with the guy who was the MVP before those 2 years. So it's really, I'm not going to say it's unfair, because these guys are all professional players. The Cavs have their share of good players as well. Maybe you would say if Michael Jordan were on the court instead of LeBron, maybe Michael Jordan would score 50 and the Bulls would be able to win. I don't know. But right now it looks like the Warriors are just too strong, and the combination of Durant and Curry. You look at a guy like Klay Thompson, who last year at this time we were talking about is, you know, he one of the top 5 or 10 players in the NBA. He's been relegated to the background. To have a chance to put a guy like that in the background and let him just shoot three-pointers and play defense, that's a huge luxury.
Dan, one of the big stories during and after Game 2 was the return of Steve Kerr as the coach of the Golden State Warriors. He had been absent for about 6 weeks dealing with back ailments. His return, how important is that to the Warriors as they go for the title?
I think if you did a poll on Twitter or something and asked people to weigh in, it would probably be 50-50. I mean, it's certainly morale boost having Kerr back on the bench and even just in the arena. I mean, Mike Brown, you know, no slouch. Mike Brown is a coach who has a lot of experience and learned from guys like Greg Popovich. He coached LeBron when the Cavs were doing well the first time around, when LeBron was a young player in the NBA, just a teenager at that point, really. And, you know, he probably would have been able to do okay with this batch of players. The question really is going to be how much of an influence has Kerr had on this team if they wind up winning 4-0 or 4-1. Is Kerr really the guy who has made the difference? And my argument actually would be that maybe not this year, maybe not this year that Kerr has been the key. I mean, if you remember that they had an interim coach for part of the time in the past. Luke Walton was the coach for a good stretch of the season 2 years ago. So it's not like Kerr, you know, maybe game by game is that important, but he really changed the philosophy of the team as soon as he came in. Mark Jackson had been the coach. Kerr came in and really changed the way that team played, made them more efficient, more confident. So his overall influence is huge, maybe not on the, you know, game two or game three or game four of this series.
What about the shooting aspect? I know Kerr was known as a excellent shooter during his playing days in the NBA, and they show no hesitation when it comes to shooting those three-point shots.
Well, you think about the extra information that the teams have in the NBA today compared to what they had when Kerr was a player in the late 80s and 90s. You know, Kerr could have been an even bigger star, I think. You know, he was really a role player with those good Bulls teams. He came up with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was a second or third choice guard for the Cavs. But he was a great shooter. If he had been able to shoot 12 three-pointers a game, you know, make six or seven of them, he would be not thinking so much of Steve Kerr as the championship coach, but you might be thinking of Steve Kerr as, you know, the all-time three-point leader or something like that in the NBA. But it just goes to show that 25 years ago, the emphasis was not on the three-pointers like it is today, and everybody finally realized, I mean, not every team can do it, but I think all of the coaches and all the scouts realized that if you have a team that can make 15 three-pointers a game, it's a huge advantage. And I think a lot of that has to be attributed to Kerr and his willingness to adapt the game of the Warriors to just what the statistics say should be a big difference maker, and that's shooting a lot of three-pointers and making them.
Dan, let's switch over to Cleveland's coach, Tyronn Lue, also a former guard in the NBA. Hypothetically, if you're going to give Coach Lue some advice ahead of Game 3 to slow down the Warriors or change the scope of this series, what tactics would you employ?
Well, you got to find a way to make more of the Cleveland players involved in the game. If you look at the results from the game the other night, you know, you see that there was strong performances by a few of the players. LeBron James, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving didn't have a great game. You look at a guy like J.R. Smith, who's a starting player for the Cavs. He has a reputation of being a good scorer. He could be a really helpful fourth man for that starting five in particular. He scored 0 points in the game the other night. He only took two shots. You know, he's a guy who can make 5 three-pointers a game. You have guys like Channing Frye. Channing Frye is a tough matchup for opposition teams. He's 6'11" or 7 feet tall. He can shoot 3-pointers. He can get rebounds. Channing Frye, looking at the box score right here, 2 points. So the Cavs, I mean, I was reading a number of articles analyzing the series, and some of these reporters and writers were saying the Cavs have a stronger bench than Golden State, and I just don't see it. So if it's going to be LeBron, it's going to have to be like it was two of these finals ago, when you had both Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving hurt. The ball was in LeBron's hands. The Cavs are taking shots late in the shot clock. They're slowing the game down. But if these scores are, you know, 132, 120, that kind of thing, 20-point games where both teams are way over 100 points, it's going to be so much in favor of Golden State winning the championship. The Cavs are going to have to find a way to make the game 100-95. It can't be 130 to 120 the rest of the way.
What about a player, I think LeBron refers to him as T2, Tristan Thompson. He was called an X-factor before the series. What has he done so far, Dan?
Yeah, Thompson, again, he's another one of these guys. If he can get 15 points and 15 rebounds a game, it makes the Cavs a much stronger team, and he hasn't been able to do that so far either. I mean, he does get his fair share of rebounds during the regular season. If you remember that exciting game where the Cavs and the Wizards played back in the second part of the NBA season, the early part of the second half of the NBA season, Tristan Thompson was huge in that game, and he made a lot of key rebounds and points in the overtime and allowed the Cavs to win, which was arguably the most exciting game in the NBA up to that point and throughout most of the regular season. So yeah, I just think the Cavs haven't been getting these kinds of championship-level performances that they're going to need to overcome that combination of Durant and Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson waiting out there to nail down a few three-pointers. These guys are going to have to play up to a higher level the next two or three games if the Cavs are going to have any kind of a chance.
Finally, Dan, you were telling me before we came in studio that this is probably not the most competitive playoff series taking place in the United States right now.
Right. You know, everybody was saying, well, this is going to be one of the best finals ever. You have so many all-stars on both teams, and it's maybe not going to turn out to be that way. But the finals that's going on in the United States at the moment is the National Hockey League Finals, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Nashville Predators. Nashville being a city more known for country music than hockey. But last night, the Predators managed to tie up the series against Pittsburgh. The series is going back to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh being the team that has this great legacy of NHL success going back to Mario Lemieux in the 80s. Now they have Sidney Crosby, who everybody says is the best player in the league. And here it is, Nashville 2-2, won both games at home. So we'll see if Nashville can get a win in Pittsburgh and maybe turn the balance of the series back toward Nashville, which would be a big surprise for a team like that.
Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. Thank you, Dan. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Tuesday?
Well, I just love when these things dovetail like this. Speaking of the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs, we have a lot of trending stories about that series between the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins, starting with P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators. Got into a bit of a tussle at the end of Game 3 with the Penguins' Sidney Crosby, a little bit of a heated exchange between those two players. And after that exchange, P.K. Subban was talking to reporters, and they asked him, okay, what happened there? What were you two talking about? And P.K. Subban said, well, Sidney Crosby told me my breath smelled, but I used Listerine before the game, so I don't know. Listerine, of course, a mouthwash. So before Game 4 last night, a little bit of gamesmanship from P.K. Subban, seen coming into the arena carrying a bag filled with bottles of Listerine mouthwash. So fans saying it's some clever trolling of Sidney Crosby, saying that Subban is picking up even more fans with this. He's having fun with the game in addition to being a great competitor. If you're a Penguins fan, however, you didn't like it as much. They said it kind of killed the joke or it wasn't as funny as people made it out to be. Either way, the Predators winning big last night 4-1. So maybe the mouthwash is the lucky charm, as a lot of people are speculating. And a lot of people want to see Listerine sign P.K. Subban to an endorsement deal. So come on, make it happen, Listerine. He's already endorsed the product. He's given it the seal of approval. And then they won. He backed it up with a win after that. So they really need to get on that and sign him. So a lot of fans on social media hoping that will be the case and he'll be signed.
Any reaction on social media from Sidney Crosby?
Not that I've seen. I think he's probably staying focused on the task at hand and not trying to wade into any back and forths over mouthwash, trying to let his play on the ice speak more than any oral care could.
Andrew, what else is trending out there?
Well, after that big win last night, we had a nice letter that was released from Mayor Megan Barry. She's the mayor of Nashville, Tennessee. We've seen this happened before when teams have won championships or they've played in games that go particularly late into the night. It's an excuse note. So here's what it says. It says, Dear Blank, and you fill in your name for that. It is with all the powers invested in me that I hereby excuse Blank for showing up to work an hour or two late this morning. Blank was merely performing their civic duty last night by staying up late to watch our Nashville Predators take on the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Final. In fact, I would be disappointed if you were not doing the same. So if your hardworking employee turns up a little bit late today, I hope you could show mercy and not throw them in the penalty box. And then it's signed, Go Preds, Mayor Megan Berry. So fans are really loving that letter. As we've said, that happens from time to time with different sports teams. You see that when they, usually it's when they win a championship, they're out celebrating. But a lot to celebrate last night in Nashville with that game four. So a nice way to let those fans get a couple extra hours of sleep, coming a little bit late to work or school this morning, and with the mayor's blessing, no less.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Kevin Durant soaring for a dunk, a nice photo by Associated Press photographer John Mabanglo. This was taken during game one of the NBA Finals. Durant having a great series so far in the NBA Finals. The NBA Finals, Andrew, are they trending out there?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of talk about the NBA Finals, as Dan was talking about, not the series that people thought it was going to be, and that's what we're seeing a lot of reaction for on social media. People saying, when is LeBron going to show up? When are the Cavaliers going to show up? People are kind of disappointed. They were anticipating a great matchup between these two teams, and so far it's been very one-sided. So people not too happy with that. Unless, of course, you're a Golden State Warriors fan, you're thrilled that this is happening. But whether or not you're a fan of either of those particular teams, if you're just a fan of basketball, I think you're a little disappointed. You want to see these back and forth battles. You want to see close games. And so far, that has not been the case.
In fact, I saw one headline. I was telling Dan in one of the Washington newspapers referring to this trilogy between the Cavs and the Warriors. They said trilogy, hardly.
No, it has not lived up to be a trilogy thus far. Now, that being said, much like the National Hockey League playoffs, we saw Pittsburgh win the first two games on their home ice. We saw Nashville win those two games on their home ice. And as we talked about yesterday, LeBron talking about defending the home court. Well, we'll see if he and the Cavaliers can indeed do that. They're going to need to make this a trilogy. Otherwise, if they get swept, it's going to be on their court in Cleveland, and that's not going to be fun for them.
And speaking of courts, the clay court of Roland Garros, big action this week at the French Open. Is that trending?
Absolutely. It's actually raining there today, so play has been suspended for the time being. But there's another court that's making a lot of waves, even aside from the players on the court at the French Open, and that's Margaret Court. She's, of course, winner of 24 singles titles, 11 in the Open era. And she came out recently with comments about Qantas Airlines, the Australian airline, saying that she wouldn't fly them anymore because of their support for same-sex marriage. She also made comments about there being a number of lesbian tennis players. So tennis is really fighting back, pushing back against this. There have been players who have come out who have even said that they do not support same-sex marriage, but they don't think it's her place to say this. There are lots of players who in tennis are lesbian who have come out. Casey Del Acqua is one of them. She's an Australian tennis player, and she's come out and said, this is no place for this. And then there's been lots of calls to rename Margaret Court Arena at Melbourne Park, which is the site of the Australian Open. People want to rename it Tennis Court Arena. That's the peril of having that name like that with court. But now you have John McEnroe releasing a new video. He's taking a humorous look at this, that he's a strong supporter of same-sex marriage. No reason why gay couples shouldn't be able to be as miserable as everybody else. He says that Margaret Court losing in the first battle of the sexes to Bobby Riggs before Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs. Maybe that's the reason behind some of this dislike for gays and lesbians. And then he said that he thinks the court should keep Margaret Court's name, but when Australia has same-sex marriage legalized, he wants to go there with his good friend Elton John and have the largest same-sex wedding at Margaret Court Arena. And he said, because Margaret, that's just the kind of guy I am. Only John McEnroe could get away with something like that, but that is just the kind of guy he is, and that video is going viral today.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the June 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawale. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
One of the world's most promising and, in terms of economy, fastest-growing regions, sub-Saharan Africa, is under attack by transnational criminal networks. Corruption is one of their major weapons. Corruption is an abuse of power at every level that impacts rich and poor countries alike in both the private and public sectors. Corruption destroys trust, undermines development, and erodes confidence in democratic institutions. It distorts markets, causes higher prices, discourages investors, and stunts economic growth. And it is particularly destructive to communities in developing countries, where it blocks development and progress. As the criminal networks see it, you must spend money to make money, and that goes double for corruption. And transnational crime is tremendously lucrative, accounting for 8% to 15% of the world gross domestic product. Hundreds of millions of dollars every year enable criminals and other threat networks to corrupt the regional economies and the global financial system, said Senior Director for National Security and Diplomacy Anti-Crime Programs at the State Department's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, David Luna.
The proceeds of drug trafficking and other forms of illicit trafficking are fueling a dramatic increase in corruption among the very institution responsible for fighting crime. The collusion and complicity of some government officials with criminal networks have helped to carve out an illicit trafficking corridor that stretches from West Africa coast to the Horn of Africa, from North Africa south to the Gulf of Guinea.
Across these illicit routes, bad actors and networks are corrupting critical institutions and enforcement systems that endanger everyone's security, said David Luna. The United States is determined, in cooperation with our partners in Africa, to disrupt and dismantle transnational organized crime networks. In support of President Donald Trump's executive order on transnational criminal organizations, the United States will continue to assist our partners to strengthen their capabilities to combat today's threat networks, said Mr. Luna. We must crack down on corruption at all levels and cut off the ability of kleptocrats, criminals, and terrorists to enjoy the fruits of illicit enterprise and that enable the financial capacity to execute their operations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu, host of Health Chat. Join us this Tuesday as we take a look at menstrual health and adolescent girls. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we look at reflections of what most voices on the continent say is the Africa that we need, meaning good governance, rule of law, and social and economic justice for all. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical journey. I guarantee.